Item 11, from the Director, Department of Health and Human Services, submitting an informational report regarding the 2014 Community Development Block Grant Allocation Process and Public Hearing. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
All right, Mr. Matthew and Director Colon, whomever.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Supervisors. First of all, thank you for being here in the afternoon for this public hearing. So this is just an informational report to introduce our public hearing for the 2014 CDBG application process. So as we historically have done, applicants will receive 2 minutes to tell you a little bit about their project with a minute for any responses that you might have. We're also seeking any public comment on our 2014 annual plan today, which is our CDBG and home allocation. So we'll see if there's public comment from the community before we begin with the presentations. And if there's any questions.
Any questions or comments for Ms. Matthew? I think it would be helpful, just so everyone understands, the communities that we are reviewing block grants for, if you could tell the ones we're not hearing.
Sure, as far as the Milwaukee County municipalities that we are not hearing?
Right, the ones that are not included.
That would be Milwaukee, West Allis, and Wauwatosa.
Okay, so other than those three, all other block grants for communities would be before this committee.
That's correct.
All right, and we have a formal notice that's going to be read. Madam Clerk, would you read that notice?
Public hearing notice, CDBG. In accordance with 24 CFR 91.105 and as the lead agency for the Milwaukee Urban County Jurisdiction and the Milwaukee County Home Consortium, Milwaukee County is holding a public hearing for input in the 2014 annual plan outlining the use of CDBG and home funds received from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, estimated to total $2.1 million. The hearing will be held as part of the Milwaukee County Economic and Community Development Committee of the County Board meeting on September 16, 2013, 1 p.m., Milwaukee County Courthouse, 901 North 9th Street, Room 203R. Written comments may be submitted to Milwaukee County Housing, Attention Gene Wolfgang, 2711 West Wells Street, Room 102, Milwaukee, Wisconsin 53208, or emailed to gene.wolfgang@milwcnty.com. For questions, call 414-278-4880.
There is also a public hearing schedule on the back table. We will go through the schedule as it's listed, and if anyone is going to be speaking, we do ask that you complete the blue card. If you are here for the items, hopefully I will have you on the card and know you. But if I, for any reason, fail to call you and you're here to speak on the particular applicant as we go through it, please stand up and notify us that you're here. We don't want to miss anyone.
And Madam Chair, we'll just ask, are there any questions, are there any comments on the 2014 annual plan?
Thank you. This is also a hearing on the 2014 annual plan for block grants, and we're kind of having a duplicate purpose. So before we start with the initial applicants, is there anyone here to speak on the plan itself? Anyone at all? All right. Then let's go ahead and start with the actual applications. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to also make sure on the record that the applicants know, as well as the supervisors, there will be 2 minutes for you to speak for each applicant and plus a minute for questions from the committee. If you are going over that time, we will politely and respectfully raise this sign that says, please conclude. And we would hope that you would conclude your speech and then if we get to a point where you're not concluding quickly enough, your time will be up.
And hopefully we can move along and still be respectful of everyone. Mr. Matthew.
Madam Chair, just one more thing, if I could. I think some of you might have brought handouts. We do not accept handouts at the supervisor level. If you did bring handouts, you could give them to Ms. Wolfgang or myself or staff, but we will not be accepting handouts at this time for this purpose. So I just wanted to make that clear.
All right. Hopefully we're ready to start. The initial applicant, Brown Deer Senior Citizens Club Meal Operations. Is there anyone here to speak on the Brown Deer Citizens Club? All right, seeing none, we're going to go on to the next one. Cudahy Property Maintenance Program, and I believe I have a card from Mayor Hohenfeld. Are you going to speak on this item?
Yes, just briefly.
All right, please come to the front. Hopefully that that mic is on. Okay, looks good.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair, Supervisors, for allowing me this brief opportunity to speak to you today. The Care for Cudahy Property Maintenance Program.
Put your name in the record.
Sure. Mayor John Hohenfeld, City of Cudahy.
Thank you.
Mayor. Again, Madam Chair, members of Supervisors, thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak to you today. The Care for Cudahy Property Maintenance Program, which the application is before you, is a long-standing program within our community. Our inspectors, neighborhood preservation officers, go out into the community and inspect properties from the street on the front side and the back side. They provide valuable tools to our citizens in helping them keep their properties up in lower and middle income track areas within our community. Why do I say valuable tools? Because many times we find in working with our citizens, they may not be aware of other resources that are out there that may be available to them from the Milwaukee County or other areas to improve their properties and work on the things, the blighted neighborhoods, which none of us want to have within our communities. We have neighborhood preservation officers that work very closely with and in conjunction in our entire inspection department with this program. It's a valuable program that many other municipalities have copied parts of from our community, and to that and to my forefronters before me that put this program together, I thank them for that. And again, we think this is a valuable application that we're putting forward and would appreciate your support. And she didn't even have to hit a politician with the cards on the minute or 2 minutes. Thank you, young lady. Thank you, Madam Chair and Supervisors.
All right. Any questions for the mayor? Thank you, Mayor Hohenfeld.
Thank you.
The next one is the Cudahy Interfaith CSFI. All right, going on, Fair Housing Services. Please identify yourself for the record.
Corey Schneider Perugini.
Felita Daniels Ashley.
Madam Chair and Supervisors, thanks for giving us the opportunity to speak with you today. The Metropolitan Milwaukee Fair Housing Council has been around for 35 years, and you all know Metropolitan Milwaukee is the most segregated metro area in the country. But for the city of Milwaukee, Milwaukee County is not a whole lot different than Waukesha County in terms of the level of segregation. The services that we have provided and want to continue to provide are our enforcement services, where we take complaints and provide investigative services, technical assistance to Milwaukee County stakeholders, including housing consumers, housing providers, community-based organizations, rental management trainings regarding fair housing, fair housing outreach and education to Milwaukee County stakeholders, including home seekers, housing providers, social service agencies, and inclusive communities services, which is something new that we haven't provided in the past. That is helping to educate the Milwaukee County communities outside the city, Wauwatosa and Wasalis, about what their fair housing obligations are as a participating jurisdiction. Conducting fair lending outreach regarding mortgage rescue scams and other predatory lending issues, and referral services.
Any comments or questions? Thank you very much for coming. Oops, there's one question. Supervisor Bowen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to hear from individuals with the Fair Housing Council maybe about the progression of working with funds last year, the trends that you're seeing right now, and the resources of trying to tackle such a large problem. Fair housing is an important issue that affects the whole county.
In terms of tackling the issue, well, there's never enough resources. We always continue to do the best we can with what we've got. We get funds from the city, from the state, and from HUD, but the work that we do is always, we're always underfunded. In terms of trends I've seen, I think with the foreclosure crisis has just amplified everything. The disparities that we saw before just seem to be greater. Our neighborhoods are suffering more. That would be the biggest trend that we've seen in the last couple of years. But essentially, you know, our segregation remains entrenched.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. If you're just coming in, we are asking that you fill out a blue card if you're going to speak. We did already do the Brown Deer Senior Citizens Club Meal Operations Program. I see there's a card here with someone from Brown Deer. Is that something that...
Yes,
you're here to speak on that?
Yeah. Okay.
Please come up and identify yourself. So we're going back to the first item on the list, Brown Deer Senior Citizens Club Meal.
That's correct. My name is Matt Janicki. I'm the assistant village manager for the village of Brown Deer. I apologize for being late. I didn't really, I didn't know that there's a long line, security line. So I guess that's a good thing, not having been to the courthouse, but I'll just get on with my short presentation here. The initial establishment of the Senior Citizens Club was completed in 1986 with CDBG funds. Since that time, the operation and rent costs have been acquired through the CDBG program. This grant would provide funding for the operation and administration of the Senior Citizens Club at the Village of Brown Deer's new community center that opened in January 2013. Additionally, the same facility accommodates the Milwaukee County Department on Aging Senior Meal Program. The combination of the two programs provide elderly persons opportunities to meet and organize for education, exercise, a supplemented meal program, along with other senior club and meal program activities.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you very much for coming. Moving on to the Franklin Senior Travel Project. Please identify yourself.
Good afternoon. I'm Mark Liberta, Director of Administration for the City of Franklin. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today. The Franklin Senior Travel Project is an educational and cultural trip opportunity for seniors to be able to continue to socialize and improve their mental health and help them stay independent in their houses. This project itself, however, only pays for the travel portion. It helps fund the bus. Any ticket prices or things like that are all fully funded by the participants themselves. So it just helps make it affordable so that the seniors have opportunities to get out of the home and stay more active in society and help their mental health.
Thank you for that clarification. Thank you. Greendale Adult Program Services. Please identify yourself.
Thank you. Todd Michaels, Village Manager, Village of Greendale. Our funding helps support our Golden Agers program. That program has been in existence for, I believe, in excess of 20 years. We run it part-time program out of one of our churches. It's been very successful, appreciated by the seniors in the community, and we appreciate continued support for that program.
Thank you. Any questions? Appreciate you coming. Hope House, River Park Apartments case manager. Anyone here from Hope House?
Madam Chair.
Oh, you skipped.
Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped. And why don't you just have a seat in the front row right there? You'll be next. I did skip Greenfield Senior Services Program supervisor. Greenfield.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Craig Scala, S-K-A-L-A.
Did you fill out a card?
Yes. I guess I specifically a question, though. Are there two items for Greenfield? The other one might deal with Farmers Market. Can I address both at the same time? Or should I just take care?
Is there...
Yes, rather than...
I didn't... I didn't offer that for the mayor, but the committee seems to be fine with that. So, sorry, Mayor Hohenfeld. We'll let you get to back to yours in a minute. But, yes, you may do that. So, but identify which one you're speaking to each time.
All right. If with respect to the item that's on the agenda now, it was the senior
services program supervisor. That's the first one.
That's not the item that I was here to speak about, but since no one else is, I would say that they have a senior supervisor works within the City of Greenfield Parks Department, Park and Rec Department, and she organizes events for senior citizens, whether it's locally at the new City of Greenfield Community Center, which is adjacent to the City Hall, and also day trips and other things like that.
And then there's another one for Greenfield Farmers Market Improvement Project.
If it's okay for me to speak now, otherwise I could take an order very well.
The committee is giving you the
thank you very mercy. Much. Again, Madam Chair and Supervisor, I want to thank you for allowing me to speak today. The Greenfield Farmers Market is seeking to install electric utility service and to install some park benches and tables at the needs of the Greenfield Farmers Market visitors. The Farmers Market is a weekly outdoor event held at Conkle Park in the City of Greenfield between June and October. It's on Sundays, and there is no fee to attend this. And vendors of fresh, locally produced foods only pay a nominal fee. The Farmers Market itself, one of the main goals is to provide fresh, wholesome food to low-income residents of Greenfield and the Milwaukee County area without grocery store overhead and markup. Two important things that the Director of Health, who could not be here today, asked me to pass along is that the vendors work closely with the WIC program. They've already been pre-approved, and that process is now underway so that they can accept WIC checks for items that are acceptable for the WIC program through the food vendors. They also are about to implement the USDA SNAP, which is the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. So they have the arrangements made, and very soon they will be installing it similar to the ATM, so that way users of the SNAP program can swipe their card on site and get tokens in order to be used at all of the vendors.
Any questions? Do you have any others?
That's all I have. Thank you for your time, Madam Chair.
Your title, I heard your name, Craig Scala.
Yeah, my name is Craig Scala. I'm an engineering technician in the Department of Neighborhood Services. Because the health director was unavailable today, he asked me to attend.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you,
Madam Chair.
Pope House. Identify yourselves, please.
I'm Wendy Weckler.
And I'm Ken Schmidt. I'm the executive director of Hope House. Thank you, Madam Chair and supervisors, for listening to our presentation today. We are proposing to provide case management services to the River Park Apartments, which are located in Shorewood, Wisconsin. That development houses 427 persons. They are all elderly or near elderly with disabilities. Sadly, in recent years, property management has seen an increase in distress in the population there, which has caused a number of interventions by property management, late payments, and sometimes even folks losing their apartments to eviction. We had a discussion with Ogden and Company, which is the property manager there, to talk about how we could provide services similar to what we do already at the Johnston Center on the south side. And that particular type of case management we provide there is called blended management, where we work very closely with property management to provide effective case management services. We have experience in working with older adults in our various housing programs. We're best known for our homeless programs. And we look very forward to working with Ogden and Company to reduce evictions so people can keep their apartments. That's what it's all about.
Any questions from the committee? Thank you.
Thank you.
Supervisor,
just really quick, which county is that? Which municipality is the?
It's in Shorewood.
Okay, in Shorewood. I see that. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Interfaith Senior Program.
Hunger Tessa.
Hunger Task Force. It's on my list as Interfaith Senior Program, but Hunger Task Force.
I'd rather go before. I know I'm not supposed to bring any
So you brought it to tease.
I brought you some apples. You don't have to read them. You can just eat them. My name is Sherry Tussler. I'm the Executive Director of the Hunger Task Force. I'm a registered lobbyist with Milwaukee County. I'm here today to present on public service, and if you are so kind, also capital improvements. I'm later
listed.
All right,
let's start with the Hunger Task Force, and we'll allow you to do the other one as well.
Okay. The first request is for $92,755, a portion of the total operating budget of $1,145,000 out at the farm. We are interested in growing produce. The resources would cover the cost of seeds, chemicals, fertilizer, and some irrigation equipment. This year we've grown about 500,000 pounds of produce year to date that we're delivering throughout the city of Milwaukee as well as the municipalities of Milwaukee County. And so we work closely with staff to create a proposal that considers the 16 eligible municipalities. We grow about 25 varieties of produce. Hunger Task Force has been managing the farm in cooperation with Milwaukee County for 9 years, and this is the year, of course, that we signed the lease, and so we're moving forward and working on development.
Were you done with the farm?
Sure.
First, I do have a question. Are you now using House of Correction labor at the farm?
When children and other volunteers are not present, we will use volunteer labor from the House of Correction. We found that they have been quite helpful in terms of harvesting produce. We just have to schedule it when the kids aren't out there.
And I understand the management now at the house is permitting that to happen.
He's been very easy to get along with.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that. Committee, any other? All right, and then you have another one, if you just identify which one you're speaking of.
The other one is a request for $52,560, the total cost of our project, which is a volunteer education center. At the farm is $648,000. We're thinking about taking two historic buildings at the farm, which was a slaughterhouse and a granary, and joining them together to create a volunteer center that can welcome the more than 5,000 volunteers that visit and help us grow the produce, harvest the produce, and take care of the fields. More and more, we become a park. Out in front, we've got the Children's Education Garden. We've already renovated and created a home economics kitchen for the kids. The other day I was out there, and the exercise stations were being used by the people of the city of Franklin, which was kind of a nice thing to see. So we want to have a place to greet people when they come out to volunteer and help us out, and it would be nice if it was indoors and had restrooms.
Okay. Any questions? Thank you for the apples.
Thank you very much.
We will eat it when staff isn't working.
There's enough there for everybody.
Thank you. All right, Interfaith Senior Program.
Hi.
Please identify yourself.
I am Lisa Bittman. I'm the Executive Director of Interfaith Older Adult Programs.
And I'm Marty Charnitz from Interfaith.
Right. And have you given us cards?
You have my card, yeah.
She's going to talk.
Yep. First, thank you very much for entertaining our input. I know you have some difficult decisions to make, especially in the at-large public service area where the requests are four times as much as what you have to give away. So I want to make the case for the older adult programs. Older adults right now comprise 16% of the population in Milwaukee County, and by 2020 that is expected to grow to 20% of the population. So why Interfaith in particular? Interfaith Older Adult Programs has been serving older adults in Milwaukee County since 1975. We're nearing 40 years of service. We provide vital services to help older adults maintain their independence at home as well as opportunities to engage in the greater community and be considered vital members of society. The Neighborhood Outreach Program in particular provides transportation to doctor's appointments, minor home chores, like changing the storm doors and windows, grass cutting, raking, snow shoveling, and the friendly visits to decrease social isolation as well. We do this with approximately 12 FTEs and 900 individual volunteers and another 900 or so group volunteers that help every year to do that, providing over 100,000 volunteer hours every year. We serve all of the 16 municipalities that are out for bid, as well as Milwaukee, Waukesha, or Tosa, and West Dallas. The 16 municipalities right now can make up about 20% of the clients that we serve. What else can I tell you? We have commitments, letters of support and commitments from five of the municipalities to date, and historically have also had commitments from South Milwaukee, so we're expecting that as well, and do receive CDBG from Tosa and West Dallas. The budget for this program, we're asking for $79,000. That's 48% of the $165,000 to operate the services in these 16 municipalities, and about 8% of the entire program budget of $900,000. So, questions?
Committee members? Supervisor Johnson?
I heard 16 municipalities. I'm thinking City of Milwaukee would be the 17th.
17, and then Tosa and West Dallas would be 18, 19.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Did you have any other ones on the list?
No, we do not.
All right, thank you very much for coming. Appreciate
it. Thank you.
Next is JFS Peer Support. Anyone here from JFS? Last call. All right, moving on, Select Milwaukee. Please identify yourself.
Good afternoon. I'm Irma Yepes, Claussen Associate Director of Select Milwaukee. Thank you for the opportunity to speak on behalf of Select Milwaukee's proposal for homeownership services under the At-Large Public Service Fund. And the proposal is to provide homeownership services among all the municipalities in Milwaukee County. Since 1991, Select Milwaukee has been a trusted resource for homeownership services, advocacy and counseling for home buying, financing, home repair, financial wellness, and home preservation. Over the last 7 years, our work has resulted in 1,152 new homeowners, 378 homeowners saved from foreclosure, and 349 home purchases combining rehab and energy efficiency improvement. 75% of those were of foreclosed properties, so turning those back into owner-occupied homeownership. Also, we've created over 350 jobs through our work and have sustained $40 million in total economic impact in Milwaukee. Select Milwaukee is a top-rated exemplary chartered member of NeighborWorks America, a congressionally chartered organization, and we're a HUD-approved counseling organization. Our customers are more successful homeowners. We really prepare them for the responsibilities and challenges of home ownership. They purchase homes they can afford and maintain. We make sure that they secure mortgages that are affordable to them and are low cost. And since 1996, our foreclosure rate is 2% for all of our homeowners that have purchased, and that's over 2,000 homeowners. So we have a real holistic approach to the work that we do. We really connect well with all the different neighborhood organizations in the community within Milwaukee, and then also the Milwaukee County neighborhoods as well. So we look forward.
Thank you. Any questions from the committee?
Question.
Supervisor Bowen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You mentioned the 350 jobs number. How was that created?
Well, we actually had, through NeighborWorks, we conducted a study of all the work that we've done, and through our work in terms of the impact we have in all the different parties that are involved in a purchase transaction. That includes financial institutions, home inspectors, realtors, title companies, purchases at your local big box stores, Target, etc. So what is the impact, and as well as tax revenue for the municipalities that are involved? So we're keeping homeowners in homes, we're making sure that they're maintaining their homes, and that they're keeping that property value up as well.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Sherwood Senior Resource Center. Please identify yourself.
My name's Peter Cahill from the Village of Sherwood. Sherwood has approximately, at the last census, 20% and climbing of a senior population. Especially now that we're considering doing a development, which is assisted living, senior living, it's very important for us to provide some services to keep our seniors active and as a productive part of our community. So we provide fitness, We provide education opportunities, trips. We have someone that helps to do their taxes every year. So we provide a lot of services towards these seniors. And we are asking for $10,000 this year that would fund a portion of the salary and benefits paid to the head of the senior center. We've been doing this for the last however many years, asking for CDBG funds for this project. So we're here asking again.
And do you have a title with this, with the City of Sherwood?
I'm the Special Projects Coordinator.
Right.
I work in the Village Manager's Office.
Any other questions? Thank you for coming. Do you have any other items on the agenda?
I do have a few other items as well.
Which ones are they, please?
I have the alley improvements, and we have a joint one with the county. I don't know if the county's going to handle that or I can.
All right, so we can go.
We can do it together.
What's the joint one?
It's the.
Let's take the Sherwood alley improvements,
okay.
Please.
Okay.
That's on Sherwood as well. So
yes.
Go ahead with that one.
Yes. In our income eligible area, which is as you cross from the City of Milwaukee, going north to Capitol Drive, there is a income eligible area there. Comprised primarily of seniors and some immigrants housing there. And in that area, there are quite a few alleys that are in disrepair that we need to fix. So we're asking for some money to help us, is it $15,000 to help us kind of fix those alleys up. And alleys are a very important part of that urban environment.
Any questions on that one from the committee? All right, then I see there is Milwaukee County Sherwood Home Repair Grant. Is that the one?
Yes.
All right, you may address us on that one.
Let me start. Okay. Our Senior Resource Center, which we just talked about earlier, has a program where they go into seniors' houses and they look for things that are safety concerns. So do they need a ramp? Does their doorway need to be widened or things like that? And I had an idea in talking with Gene from the county that we could use part of our CDBG funds to provide grants for some of these seniors who may have had something discovered in their inspection that needed to be completed. So, again, if they need a ramp, if they, whatever, any of those safety concerns that can be addressed under CDBG. So we decided to come together with, I think it's like 5 or 6 small grants of $2,000 to $3,000 that can help these seniors implement some of the things that were found on their inspection.
Any questions? All right, thank you for coming. St. Francis Code Compliance Officer. If you could just identify yourself for the record, please.
Melinda Dieske, City Engineer, Director of Public Works for the City of St. Francis.
Okay, go ahead.
The City of St. Francis is requesting some funding today for a code compliance position. St. Francis is a low, moderate income community, and we've been having an increase in our community where the homes are becoming more in disrepair, and we would like to have a position that could go around full-time, a part-time position to go around more often than we do on a complaint-driven system right now, and be proactive in getting our community to help people improve those homes, write orders, get them to fix their gutters, repair their siding, paint the property to keep St. Francis moving upwards. So we are asking for some funding for a part-time position in that today.
And you do have two other ones on the list. First of all, are any questions from the committee on that program, Supervisor Johnson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the code compliance officer, would these funds be for the funds would be for the officer for the position, but would that person inspect primarily the exterior of the homes, also inside?
It's mostly an exterior program where they're driving by, they see, you know, the porch is in disrepair, needs to be fixed, the house needs painted, gutters need to be put back on the house, you know, or removed, depending on how that goes. Even as far as tall grass and weeds, just getting the lawn maintained. So it's primarily an exterior type of making sure everybody's property is up to the proper code on the exterior.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right, and then I'm sorry, Supervisor Bone.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. One more question. And getting people to comply with those codes, are fines being given at the same time?
We would give them a period of time to correct the work, and then if not, then we can write tickets against that and even bring them into court if we've had to. We've had to do that in the past with some properties, so we have that process already in place.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Anyone else? All right. Next is St. Francis City Trail Project Phase 2.
Yes, last year we came before the board and were awarded a grant to create a trail system in some large area of the city of St. Francis that used to be owned by the We Energies. It's that old, it's where the coal was stored and some ash has been placed, capped by We Energies. The city purchased that land a few years ago and is in the process of trying to create a trail system through there. It's a unique space in the city and in the South Shore area where there's a large urban forest there as well. A lot of people use this land currently, and we'd like to create a trail system to give them a specific place to walk so that they don't, impact the rest of the prairie and the woods. We want to make sure that everybody has access to that. It's a great resource in Milwaukee County. It's very unique to have such a large wooded area in the South Shore, so we'd like to create this trail system. This is the second phase of that project, so we'd like to it'll come up to the trailhead, which will be by the new civic center that the city is building next year. So we'd like some funding to continue that great opportunity for everybody in the area.
Any questions on that one? And then you also have St. Francis Sidewalk and Handicap Ramp Project.
This has been an ongoing. We have done a handicap and sidewalk repair project for many, many years with the Community Development Block Grant Funds. It's a great program where we can go and repair sidewalk in front of people's properties at no charge for them. The city currently special assesses back improvements in front of property, and this is a great way to help people out that couldn't necessarily afford that. We also have been going citywide upgrading our intersections with the appropriate handicap ramps to increase mobility and increase transportation access throughout the city. Right, we have a number of them that were to standard back when they were put in, but they don't have the truncated domes, they don't have the split guideway, so they're shooting people out into the middle of the intersection rather than either side. So this is a great program. We help a lot of people with this. We create a increased mobility. We're taking out trip points for disabled people and giving them much better access to the city sidewalks and getting them moving around. So it's been our very successful program for us.
Would this also include any further work on the Route 51 sidewalk and ramp?
This one does not, but we have a grant from last year that's we're trying to get that launched.
Do you know when that work's going to be done?
We're putting together our contract. It should be out to bids for in the next week or two, and be done later October.
Supervisor Mayo's committee heard quite a bit about that one.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much. Any other questions? Thank you for coming. I think we've gotten all of yours.
Yes, you have. Right. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, going back to the WCS Green Trades Training Program. Please identify yourself.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. Clarence Johnson with Wisconsin Community Services. Thank you for the opportunity to be here this afternoon. I want to speak briefly about the Green Trades Training Program that WCS provides. The target population are individuals who are currently involved or who have been involved in the criminal justice system who face a number of barriers to employment. This is a program that's actually called the Pre-Apprenticeship Certificate Training Program, PACT as I'll call it. And it is a program of the Home Builders Institute, so it's a certified industry recognized program, and it provides basic training into basic introduction and training in the building trades, including OSHA 10 safety training. We get into math, using math in the building trades industry. It's about a 5-week program, and what it does is it gives individuals skills that they can then use to gain entry-level employment. a number of the individuals who will go through this program will be eligible to receive about a 30-day, in some cases longer, subsidized work experience project with WCS. We own eight properties, which require a lot of maintenance, and so many of the people that will complete the program actually have a chance to go on to work on our properties also for extended work experience. It is a very good program, if I say so myself. One of the things that it does is sort of a side benefit, and I'm getting close to that two-minute time frame here, is that it also gives people enough skills so that they can actually go out and find part-time work on their own, almost as self-employed or assisting other folks in the community who are doing home rehab. There's always a need for a handy person who can do painting, drywall repair, plumbing, electrical. We have a hands-on training center at WCS's main office on 37th and Wisconsin Avenue, and I would encourage all of you to come out and see it if you have an opportunity.
Supervisor Bowen, question?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question about, this is a new program or is it an existing program that you're supporting?
This is an existing program, actually. We've run this program now for about 3 years, and we've probably graduated, close to 10 cohorts. Each class usually has about 12 people who will start the class, and in most cases, about 80% will complete the training.
Mm-hmm. My next question is about the placement of those individuals in green trades. I know other organizations that have tried to go down this road of trying to train individuals in green trades and finding out that the market really wasn't there to support placing those individuals in green trade jobs in this area of the country, or in Milwaukee in particular. What's been your success rate of making sure those individuals are actually getting in the workforce?
Well, I will say that it has been a challenge, and as I mentioned a few moments ago, one of the things that we've done in order to sort of bridge that gap between training and what I'll call competitive employment is to have a number of people working for WCS on our facilities. We've had some good success placing individuals with organizations or companies like KVG, Five Star up until recently, Giddings Hawkins. We'll also place people at some of the Home Depots and Lowe's. So it's been relatively good. It could be better. And as I said, one of the side benefits that we see is that there are a number of people who actually complete the program who we may not place. They may find their own jobs, and oftentimes that's as a job as a handyman in the community.
You also have a WCS driver's license recovery and employability application. Do you want to address that one, please?
Yes, Madam Chair. That's a program that WCS has operated for about the last 3 years. The aim is to provide Milwaukee County low-income residents ages 18 years and older who have a revoked or suspended driver's license because of a failure to pay fines. So the program has been able to recover about 2,500 licenses over the past 6 years through a combination of case management services and legal services. In addition to those things, we also hold a number of advice sessions around the community where we go into places. In fact, we'll be at the Fatherhood Summit next month, and we'll see a large number of individuals, and we'll give each person that we talk with a plan that they can then use to recover their driver's license without our continued assistance.
Supervisor Bowen?
One more question. I know last year we changed things a lot because we found out that we weren't doing community development block grant requirements quite the right way. Are these individuals all outside of those municipalities that we cannot?
For both those programs, they would be individuals who do not reside in Milwaukee, West Dallas, or Wauwatosa, yes.
Is this a program that you work with the Milwaukee Bar Association on?
For the driver's license recovery program?
Right.
We don't work a whole lot with them. If something comes up that requires, where there can be a partnership or collaboration, we would certainly encourage that, but not on an ongoing basis now.
They also started a program, but I thought perhaps your organization was carrying that out.
I don't believe so,
okay.
Madam Chair.
That's fine. Thank you. Anyone else? All right. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
Next, we have West Milwaukee Community Center Maintenance. West Milwaukee. Please identify yourself.
Hi. Paul Baumgart. I'm the Deputy Clerk, Deputy Treasurer of the Village of West Milwaukee. And we're requesting $9,000 for the maintenance and upkeep of our community center. We've requested this in the last several years and received it, fortunately, for janitorial costs and utility costs to help maintain and upkeep the community center. The center benefits a few different groups. The one main group is a senior meal program that's also run through Interfaith. About 94 people benefit from it. And there's a couple other programs that do meet there occasionally. In the past, there has been a head trauma group, a women's group, that kind of come and go with different groups here and there that also use the community center. So that's kind of the main people that benefit from it.
Any questions? Otherwise, you do have another one on as well. West Milwaukee Community Center exterior.
It's a roof. Yes, it's the roof replacements planned for the community center. It's the original roof. The building was built in 1982. It has had some repairs or some leaks, so it's kind of at the end of its lifespan. So it's felt that for the continuation of the building, for the sustainability, to replace the roof. Yes.
Any questions, Mr. Boyle?
How big is the center?
As far as like square footage, or I don't know that offhand, to be honest. I can get back to you. I can find that out for you if you like.
Maybe a better question is how many individuals on a daily basis use the center?
On a daily basis, the meal program, I don't know how many are there daily. We have the number of 94 people total. I don't know if that's every day. As far as other groups, it's hard to say. I don't have a good concrete number for a guesstimate for you.
That's okay. Sorry. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. All right, back to Cudahy. Cudahy ADA accessibility intersection.
Thank you again, Madam Chair and Supervisors. As some of you may know, I served as mayor from 2004 to 2007, and I'm back here in 2013. Why? I guess I'm a glutton for punishment the second time around, like you fellow elected officials. But I truly enjoy it.
The committee might enjoy hearing who defeated you the first time.
If you want to put that on the record, former Supervisor Ryan McHugh defeated me for mayor. Mayor Day defeated him, and Hohenfeld came back in 2013. The last person to serve a non-concurrent term appeared before you a long time ago, Mayor Kassenbaum, in 1938. Some of you may remember him. To your question, Supervisor Johnson, on St. Francis, the property program that they're putting forth is a copy of my program. I will steal that. They can steal that because I'm stealing something from Shorewood. I heard in another application. In government, we borrow things. But back to my point on ADA accessibility, as I'm putting together my 2014 budget and reaching for my bromo seltzer and my other stomach methods to keep myself, I find in public service, in public works and infrastructure, some of the things that were funded back in 2007 have now been decreased in the area of 20% to 80% when it comes in my municipal budget. That's frightening in a 107-year-old community. That means my infrastructure is crumbling at a rate faster than I'm putting money towards it. Thus, when we've looked at the community development block grants and the ADA accessibility intersection project that we're proposing for $45,835, is that by the utilization of these block grants, as we've done in the past for ADA compliance and ADA accessibility, these are the only ways we're going to be able to continue to fund the necessary infrastructure, not just for regular citizens in my community. I do not mean that disrespectfully. I also mean people with disabilities as well. Our population is getting older and graying, and as well as we're seeing a number more of handicapped personnel within our communities, within our school districts. So it's not just the old, if you will, it's the young as well with disabilities who fortunately are living in my community. They're going to our schools. They're utilizing public transportation, which is a good thing. They're getting around. They're getting mobile. But we need these kind of projects for the accessibility that we're looking to propose at this intersection. Are there any questions?
The Milwaukee County Parks, is there anyone here from Parks? Why don't you come on up, because this is, I believe, a Cudahy project that you have an application in for.
Correct. Madam Chair, also, if we could just go back up to Cudahy Interfaith for a brief second, that we missed that one in my first time up with a dual application, if that's acceptable with you and the committee.
All right. I apologize.
Sure.
I'm giving Mayor Hohenfeld a little extra leeway here because I've been little bit of a hard on you, I think, but please address that, and then we'll wait on the parks one.
Sure. And again, I'll keep this one
and
brief.
I thought we had that one, but was there someone here from Interfaith?
There was no, there was somebody here from the Milwaukee Interfaith, but nobody's. There are separate entities with the Cudahy St. Francis Interfaith. That's why the separate application.
All right, so go ahead on that one.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. About 40 years ago, my public health officer within the community started an organization based on a need, and that was finding a need to get services for our older adults, getting rides, getting companionship, getting snow shovel, getting chores done. And thus, our Cudahy St. Francis Interfaith was born. Today, a product 40 years later, it's a combined effort with Interfaith as well as Project Concern, housed within a religious facility in the city of Cudahy. They serve the needs of thousands of people within the communities of Cudahy and St. Francis. We're very blessed to have shared resources and staff and the commitment of all the religious organizations within the city to couple into the effort. In addition to that, many of our very generous corporate boards and foundations have also given donations to the Interfaith within Cudahy St. Francis, which makes it a good and viable program within the community. If you see their applications, they also put in an at-large public request, as well as we put in a municipal request as well. I know you have difficult decisions before you. The county supervisors have difficult decisions before you. We feel very strong about this program, and that's why we also put in our own municipal application and worked with them to put in their separate application as well.
Any questions on that one? Liz, why don't you stay there, and
okay.
We'll also call up the person from Parks, Milwaukee County Parks.
So there's only one application in Milwaukee
County? Well, this is the one that affects Cudahy.
Jill
Oregon?
Yes.
Yes, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Jill Oregon, Milwaukee County.
Yeah.
Milwaukee County Parks, Assistant Chief of Planning. I just walked in, so am I presenting on what I came to present on? Or
well, you're going to present on the Cudahy Project, the Sheridan Pavilion?
Yes.
That application?
Yep.
So why don't you go ahead and describe that, and then I'll allow Mayor Hornfeld to also address that.
Sure, and I have a handout. Can I bring that up?
You can hand it.
We're not supposed
to
take handouts. Just the staff is getting that.
Okay. Sounds good. We have the application, so our project is to renovate the Sheridan Park Pavilion. It is in the low to moderate income area. The pavilion serves picnic areas, including the adjacent picnic area, the playground, the lagoon, which has fishing in the summer and ice skating in the winter, ball diamonds, a softball and a baseball diamond, the Oak Leaf Trail, open spaces, and tennis courts. And the building was built in 1959. It hasn't had anything done to it since then. Initially, the main room was an open-air shelter, and before it was even built, it was redesigned to be an enclosed room that is rented right now with the adjacent picnic area. It has the men's and women's room, office and some storage, and the mechanical room. The scope of services is basically to renovate the bathrooms to make them more ADA accessible, to replace the heating and ventilating systems, and add air conditioning, install insulation. We need new electric service. There are several critical and potentially critical items associated with the electricity. New windows, screens, and doors, especially the doors, to make them ADA accessible both with the widths of all the doors and the hardware. Replace the roof. The roof is critical. It's an old cedar shake roof. It is in a historic area, so we've got to evaluate our options as to what we will be allowed to do, whether or not we replace it with cedar shake or a substitute material. We're going to perform tuck pointing and brick replacement, renovate the chimney flue, install ADA accessible indoor and outdoor drinking fountains, install a catering countertop with a sink, abate lead, asbestos, and other hazards, and perform earthwork and asphalt path installation to improve access to the building. I don't want to use my whole 3 minutes with me talking, so if you guys have any questions, you've probably reviewed the application.
All right. Well, why don't we let Mayor Hohenfeld weigh in on Sheridan Park, which is in Cudahy.
Yes.
Any comments?
Thank you, Madam Chair. On the 4th of July, we have anywhere from 5,000 to 8,000 visitors, not only from my community but from the entire area, that come in and utilize the beautiful Milwaukee County Park system for our 4th of July celebration. Many of the people at that celebration use that facility, which is located right next to our main stage. I am a lifetime resident of the city of Cudahy. I was born 2 years after that facility was put into place. Unfortunately, the sorry part is that when my childhood memories of when I was 5 years old in the park, it looks the same way now that I'm 52 years young. And that's not a good thing. Think of the worst locker room you've ever been in a sporting event with your children, with yourself. This is what people are coming to my community, not only from my community, but the 8,000 visitors who come in and utilize this facility, not only for my 4th of July, but for the many other events that are held in the Milwaukee County Park System, and this is what they get to see. The Race for the Bacon event, which was sponsored by Pastor Cudahy on August 1st, and utilized this facility. A great event to bring several hundred runners into the city of Cudahy, utilize the Sheridan Park area, have a great big setup afterwards, beautiful visibility, right? This is what they saw. This is where they need to make these improvements, and on behalf of the city of Cudahy and my residents, we're here to support this effort with the committee.
Mayor, do you want to say anything about the event for next year?
Oh, by the way, as long as I didn't see her card up there, my left eye is not working very well today. Please conclude. See, I had three times up here, so I get an extra 14 seconds. As a part of our 2014 4th of July celebration, we have coupled it with the centennial anniversary of Sheridan Park and the 100-year celebration. And what better way to put it together with the city of Cudahy, 100 years in this park, and a new facility? For me, that would be a trifecta.
Any comments or questions from the committee?
The county supervisor of that ward area. That is a great question, Supervisor Mayo. She is a very talented and very qualified person. Supervisor Jurzik.
No, I was wondering why this Lee was going on here. Okay, here we go. All right.
Are we good, Supervisor? I did get to see the other very attractive female supervisors. That was County Board Chair Dmitrovich was at one of our civic events yesterday for a Serbian church in their 50th anniversary celebration, but she was baptized there, so I'm sorry, Supervisor, I couldn't top that one.
There you go.
Thank you.
The Serbian church with its 50th anniversary is Cudahy's getting a lot of attention.
Yeah.
I think, Mayor, have we hit all of the Cudahy projects?
I don't know, folks.
Mayor, you, see you later.
Yeah, Supervisor Bowen, I think you have a question.
Supervisor Bowen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. More so like a point of order question. I don't see the harm in us seeing the handout that is associated with the presentation. It has details on what the
And that's a good question. Was there a reason you asked that handouts not be presented to committee members? What was the point of that?
Sure, Madam Chair, we were just going based on history. That was the previous committees every year.
Just to kind of keep us moving along.
Sure, so that's at the pleasure of the committee.
How about if we do this? Why don't we keep proceeding this way, but make these available for us after we're finished? Sure. Is that all right with you?
All right. Yeah, as long as it's dispersed. It sounded like that the staff was just going to hold
okay.
the information and not share with the committee. So at some point, we'd like to.
Thank you for bringing that up. Appreciate it. All right. Thank you, Mayor Hohenfeld.
Thank you.
Jill Organ.
Well, I think we're going to finish with our list, and we'll permit you to come up as we get to any other ones you have.
Thank you.
Since you're a county staffer anyway. So, going on then with Franklin Senior Dining Facility, ADA fire alarm. Anyone here from Franklin? I think you've identified yourself previously, but please do so again.
Mark Liberta, Director of Administration with the City of Franklin. We have one of the larger senior meal centers operated by the county in our city hall, but that portion of the building does not have an updated ADA-compliant fire alarm system, and it's not only that area of the building, it is the pathway from the lower level to the elevator and the hallway through, so it's the whole path that handicapped seniors might be taken that is not in an upgraded area. And so the city would like to use CDBG dollars to finish this project. One reason that's important now that isn't mentioned in the application is the roof over this area is a project the city's doing entirely, and we've got that in the budget for next year for $240,000, and the other half of our city hall roof the following year for $220,000. So we'll be spending about $500,000 in the building that's helping to support this facility. And while we're working on the roof, we'd like to get that portion fully ADA compliant with sirens and or horns and lights as is required now.
Any questions from committee? Supervisor Johnson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This gentleman has been up here twice, and I haven't gotten his last name.
Luberta.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you, ma'am.
Do you have any other Franklin projects?
Nope, that's
otherwise,
it. Thank
I apologize for making you wait.
Other than the City of Franklin, historically for the last 5 years, has had a Southwest Interfaith Program for senior. You heard from them. And in working with staff, we have recommended allocating some of our municipal allocation to the Southwest Interfaith Program, and Franklin supports that.
Okay.
And we are grateful.
Thank you very much for coming and waiting. Glendale Sidewalk Replacement Project. Please identify yourself.
Thank you, Madam Chairman and committee members. My name is Todd Stubbe, Director of Community Development for the City of Glendale. The request is for $31,345 for a sidewalk project along the south side of Bender Road from Green Bay Avenue to a point just west of Baker Road where there is currently no sidewalk. And curb ramps will be provided. This project will be concurrent with street utility and construction work that will make this area far safer as far as accessibility and mobility for all the citizens.
Any questions? What is your title at Glendale?
Director of Community Development.
Do you have any other ones on the list today?
No, we do not.
All right. Thank you. If there are no other questions, then thank you for coming. Next on the list is Grand Avenue Club, Job Creation Employment Op. Please identify yourself.
Yes. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I am Rachel Foreman. I'm the Executive Director of Grand Avenue Club. Grand Avenue Club is very eager to expand our successful employment programs. We have served over 1,600 people with mental illness over the past 20 years. With this grant, we will target a specific area and build networks of opportunity and support for a population that is very eager to be productive. The target population for this project consists of adults who meet the low to moderate income requirement as defined by HUD. Despite the employability of many people with mental illness, they have the highest rate of unemployment for any disability group, a whopping 85%. More than 90% live far below the federal poverty level. And despite these challenges, we have managed to help many of them be successful at integrative employment. In 2012, our members earned more than $1 million in taxable revenue. This project will target a geographical area of the county that is rich with employment potential and accessible via the Green Line. We are targeting the census tracts covering Glendale, Whitefish Bay, and Shorewood. However, Grand Avenue Club is eager to work with any employers in the entire urban county partnership area on this project, and when we are successful, we will approach CDBG and other funders to focus on different census tracts in coming years. Those who find employment via our evidence-based programming will have access to well-trained benefit specialists and will benefit from existing partnerships with quality employers, as well as additional ones created via our development efforts. Employers in the area will gain reliable, hardworking employees supported by a proven agency partner. Our board of directors, most of whom have corporate ties, have just created an official employment committee. They are eager to work with us to establish a North Shore supported employment council with local business executives, civic groups, government officials, and other interested residents. Current employers who are articulate about the credibility of our approach have already agreed to be part of this project. We hope that you will see that this project should be awarded CDBG funding because its strategies are an extension of a successful employment project. Two, it involves the development of an array of diverse employment opportunities for adults who have experienced mental illness. Three, Its implementation is rooted in the comprehensive redesign of behavioral health services that has engaged BHD policymakers, direct service personnel, people who have themselves experienced mental illness, and advocates. The realization of this project's goals will help to transform the behavioral health system and will promote life and hope for people in Milwaukee County with mental illness issues.
Can I ask you to summarize that?
I'm sorry. We timed it.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be 2 minutes. That's it.
Did you get a summary? Do you need a summary?
She's done.
Okay.
That was 1, 2, 3.
Supervisor Johnson has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. With respect to low and moderate income individuals, Executive Director Foreman, you've already indicated that your members have had that there's 80% unemployment for the mentally ill. And I want to recognize success in as much as your members have had over $1 million in taxable income earned. So my question is, for that income earned, how many members were a part of that amount?
Well, 89. Well, that was income earned in 1 year. It's
yes.
More slightly.
And how many individuals?
89 people are 89. Independently or competitively. Well, it's several categories. 89 people are independently or competitively employed, and I'm guessing that about 40 were involved in either transitional or supported employment.
Thank you very much.
And for the most part, many of them are working part-time. Not all of them, but many of them.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next is the Greendale Historical Readaptation Grounds. Please identify.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. Madam Chairman and committee members, my name is Ted Minella. I'm president of the Greendale Historical Society. We have 400 members that are working to readapt an historic building that's located in the heart of the village of Greendale. It's one of the few national historic landmarks in Milwaukee County. As we celebrate our 75th anniversary, our group is working diligently with the village of Greendale to return this historic building to public use as a community gathering center. And I'd like to thank the committee for its past support. This community gathering place would be available for senior citizens and youth groups and all other organizations. Our organization has raised over $320,000 towards this project. We have the support of the Village of Greendale. We also have the support of in-kind donors who are working with us to provide services to complete this building. Over 20 businesses are providing in-kind donations, and I think this is an excellent example of public and private entities working together. That's why Todd Michaels is here to speak along with this project today.
If I could, Todd Michaels, Village Manager, Village of Greendale. We're excited about this project because it's a blighted building. It is, you know, a National Register of Historic Places. We're planning on also moving our senior program there. We currently run it in a rented building that we rent from another person. So this project fits a number of purposes for us, including, you know, benefiting our downtown area, which, as Ted said, we are pretty excited. I mean, we're one of the few national historic districts in the country even.
I do have a card here also from Kathleen Hart speaking on the Greendale Historical. Did you want to speak?
Hi, do I get another 2 minutes or you had used their 2 minutes? I don't know. I just wanted to make sure people know about Greendale and why they got the National Historic Landmark status. It's because of the contribution that they made to the country during the late 30s, when that was the Great Depression, and it was one of the projects from the Roosevelt administration that gave jobs to people and provided low and moderate income housing, and it really put the country back. There are only 3 Greenbelt communities in the whole United States. So that was our contribution, and that's why we're a National Historic Landmark.
And you've done a great job of maintaining those properties, I might add. Mr. Michaels, is there anything else you are here for?
No, just if there's any questions.
Thank you for your patience. Any other comments? Very good. Thank you. South Milwaukee Human Concerns, electrical improvements.
Hello. My name is Christine Schell. I'm the director of South Milwaukee Human Concerns. We're the only food pantry clothing bank serving the low to moderate income families in South Milwaukee. Our building was constructed in 1955. There's two different projects here. One is replacing the two circuit boards in the building, which are original to the building. The electrician has told us that they should have been replaced a long time ago. They're a mess. The other is we have a lot of old lighting fixtures that use what's called a T8 fluorescent bulb, which is being phased out. I've also been told that those are normally used for outdoor lighting and that they're not energy efficient at all. With the sale of Bucyrus International to Caterpillar, we lost about a quarter of our funding. So we're working very hard to find new funding areas, but also to lower the bills for our building and our energy bills. The gas and electric really are quite high. They run almost $1,000 a month. So we're hoping that you would please approve our request, and I thank you for having us here, for letting me come here and talk to you.
Now, there's also the South Milwaukee Senior Center Energy Project. That's separate?
Yes.
Okay. Any questions on the electrical improvements? If we, why don't we take the South Milwaukee Senior Center Energy Project as well? We have the elected city clerk I see in the office, Jim Schelinski. Along with, why don't you identify yourself
sure.
as well?
My name is Jim Schelinski, city clerk.
Sandy Quinlan, the senior center director.
Thank you for your time, Madam Chairwoman and supervisors. This project here is a critical project for the center. It has a number of benefits for the city while maintaining the block grant guidelines. We ask you to strongly consider our request. The project has three basic components. The first component is the heating. The current HVAC unit is 21 years old and is at the end of the life cycle, and it's a part of a big hall, and that unit presently is not working, and it's harder and harder to get the parts for that old unit. The second phase is the lighting in the building. We presently have T12s in there, not even T8s. This grant would make it possible for a more comfortable environment for our seniors while improving the lighting, which is way too dim. The new bulbs are more brighter and less efficient. And finally, the third component would be a building management system. This system will improve the energy reliability, control, and efficiency, helping us make smarter use of energy dollars while saving money. The system will be able to control heating and the lighting. Environmentally, it's the right thing to do. We feel our request clearly falls under the guideline on improving and developing the infrastructure for the seniors for southeastern Milwaukee County. The center is about 6,600 square feet, between 85 and 110 per day, with senior programs and elderly nutrition site is held there. Throughout the year, there's other civic events held there through the community, and it has an annual budget of $124,600.
Committee questions? Mr. Schelinski, do we have anything else that you're here to address?
No, that would be it.
Thank you for waiting. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Thank you. Thank you. Next, we have the Milwaukee County Arch Barrier Removal Grants.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Supervisors. My name is Jean Wolfgang with Milwaukee County Housing, and I will speak on behalf of the Architectural Barrier Removal Grants and the Suburban Home Repair Program. The Architectural Barrier Removal Grants allows us to assist individuals in the 16 municipalities to remove architectural barriers from their homes. Typical projects include ramps, lifts, roll-in showers, and door widening. We spend about $8,000 per client is the average to provide accessible features. This allows people to stay in their homes longer. In the last year to year and a half, we've had connected more with our Disability Services Division, working with children with disabilities and their households, and we also are forming a stronger partnership with the Department on Aging and Family Care to take referrals from those agencies and assist people that live in the 16 jurisdictions. The second program, are there any questions on that one?
Go ahead.
Okay. The second program is the Suburban Home Repair Program.
Oh, okay. I see you're going to the next one.
Oh, sorry.
Any questions on the first one? All right. Then go ahead with the second one you have.
Yep. The Suburban Home Repair Program assists people with their home repair needs in the 16 communities. Our other funding source, as you know, is the HOME Program. The regulations about a month and a half ago changed dramatically. And with the changes in the home regulations, there's going to be a greater need to use the block grant in the 16 communities. The after rehab value for the home program has dropped from $219,000 to $171,000. In some of our suburban communities, there are not many homes beneath that value. So this will be critical to serve low-income households in those communities. Especially on the North Shore and the western side of the county. But we still have a lot of elderly people that are in need of home repairs. The typical repairs include siding, windows, roofs, and a lot of foundation repairs. That's something that is extremely hard if you're on a tight budget. We do 0% interest loans with our clients.
Supervisor Bowen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question to make sure that it's not duplicate to the other work being done by the is Rebuilding Together Critical Home Repairs?
Yeah, we do partner with Rebuilding Together, and they will be speaking, I believe, next. They do some of the more accessibility-related features, and they only serve the elderly and the disabled and veterans. And we serve all low-income households. We also will do referrals to each other, depending on the nature of the inquiry, if it's a better fit with either program. And they also do not do anything with foundations and roofs. So sometimes there's an opportunity for us to work together in that manner.
Why don't we go ahead and call? Is there anyone here on Rebuilding Together Critical Home? Since we're kind of talking about your request. Please introduce yourself and go ahead and speak about your program.
Good afternoon. My name is Linnea Cates Pettit. I'm the CEO of Rebuilding Together Greater Milwaukee. Our program, as Jean said, does serve the 16 municipalities outside the city of Milwaukee, including we also do the city of Milwaukee. We do about 280 homes throughout the county in itself on an annual basis. Our budget is $750,000, and that's including staff time, labor, all materials, everything in, within that. Just a point of clarification, we do some roofs, although the reason we don't do them right now is just because of a funding shortage. We don't advertise it, but if we can get funding for it or if we can partner with somebody else who will pay for it, we will do it. Our program is critical to the community from a standpoint of keeping people in their homes, aging in place, and also being able to keep the communities afloat. One of the things that we've been able to assist many homeowners with in the last number of years is having them maintain their homeownership and be able to do so in a decent and independent way. So, you know, we partner with a number of the programs that I've presented for you already today, some of being, you know, the county program and also Interfaith we partner with, and then also all the municipalities to make sure we can make sure we have the most impact possible. We're not looking to duplicate services. We're looking to partner, collaborate the best possible way we can. One of the things we're noticing specifically this year alone, and I anticipate it's probably going to continue on going forward, is that the degree of repairs are getting much more significant. So there's not only been a delayed response from individuals not having the capabilities and funding, but it has surely not been attended to at all in the last number 6 years or so because of the economic downturn. So I think there's enough work out there for all of us, and it's a definite needed service for us to not only partner together, but also to work on our specialties as well.
Supervisor Ball.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And then my second question was just the your request. Was your original request $100,000?
Our request is for $100,000, and that's to address the needs of 22 homes.
Okay. Thank you.
Any questions on those? Thank you very much for coming.
Sure.
I'm sorry, Supervisor.
Oh, no, no.
He's
no,
just saying
I'm,
hi.
No, I'm just saying
oh,
hi.
Oh, you're just saying yes, okay. Yes. Very good, yes.
High five. Thank you for your time.
High five back at you.
All right, then we have WWBIC, business owner. Anyone here from?
You skipped County Parks?
No, we're going to go back to that.
Oh, okay.
We got a few yet. Oh. Please, WWBIC.
What do we got now?
Well, this is popcorn, so it's a little bit better than apple.
Oh.
Depending on where you are.
Combine the two of them. Good afternoon. I am Doug Seymour. I'm the Director of Community Development for the City of Oak Creek. And
I'm Amber Miller, Regional Project Director for the Wisconsin Women's Business Initiative Corporation.
Go ahead.
Okay. So, of course, I want to thank you for your continued support in Wybick. And, of course, you know, we are statewide, but I'll just be talking about the CDBG areas. We are going into our 26th year, and not only do we offer workshops, which are about 450 per year, we also offer technical assistance to our small business owners and people who are currently in business who need the additional assistance. So if they need assistance with marketing, social media, we're there to assist them. We have two small business consultants on staff who work directly with the small business owners, and then we also have over 220 volunteers, experts within the community that can work with them. Just in quarter one of 2013, we provided over 5,700 counseling hours to over 1,761 unduplicated clients. Once again, we hold several workshops, and then I brought popcorn from one of our clients, the Goody Gourmet, who is located in Shorewood, right on Oakland. Good popcorn. Mm-hmm. So she came to us about 7 years ago. She's a Start Smart business plan graduate. So she took our session that we offer. It's 14 weeks, teaches you how to write a business plan, and been successful ever since. And then also we've been working more in the Oak Creek area with Bella Vita Salon and Five Elements. And then also, I know the last time I was here, Miss Cupcake, I brought you guys some yummy treats from her. She's been open now 14 months and was able to create two new jobs this year. So I just want to thank you for your continued support, and hopefully we can count on you for next year for extra support within the community.
Mr. Seymour, I was wondering why you were sitting here all this time.
This is just very interesting, though. Thank you. On behalf of the City of Oak Creek, you'll notice that there is not a specific project on behalf of the City of Oak Creek, and that really reflects an ideology in working with the county and directing resources towards those projects and programs that need them the greatest and the most, and trying to maximize the use of those so that we can direct those resources appropriately. We do, however, want to speak in support of Wybick, and in fact are partnering with Wybick in 2014 to institute and to take advantage of some entrepreneurial assistance for individuals and businesses in the Oak Creek area. We certainly support that and support their mission countywide, certainly. If I can take a little bit of my time and just maybe give a plug for our other programs that we traditionally have funded using a municipal application, those being Interfaith and the Hunger Task Force. I think it's, although they're not individual program applications on behalf of the City of Oak Creek, we certainly applaud their mission and continue to support them and would ask that you do the same through the city's municipal allocation.
Thank you, Supervisor Bond.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What was your original budget request?
$100,000.
Okay. And second, thank you for coming, Mr. Mayor. Mayor?
Developer.
No.
He could be mayor.
I'm giving you titles. I'm sorry.
Give me
that that would be Mayor Scafidi. He's the development director.
Does Oak Creek financially support Wybick as well?
through our allocation, we are requesting, I believe it was in the neighborhood of 46,000, was that right, Jean? For those programs in 2014, yes.
Okay, so the allocation that would go towards you, you're kind of redirecting.
Right.
Gotcha. All right. Thank you.
Supervisor Mann.
No, when they finish this, I have a question.
When they're finished. Yes. Otherwise, thank you very much. Now, I think we've made it through the entire list. I think I've gotten through all of the cards. Is there anyone that's still waiting to be heard to speak? Well, I'm sorry. We have Milwaukee County Parks, which I allowed you to speak on part of it, but why don't we call Milwaukee County Parks to finish any other applications you have with regard to the block grants.
Thank you, Madam. Popcorn.
Yes, thank you.
Is that cheddar cheese in it?
What?
Cheddar cheese. Oh, you didn't bring the hot pepper one?
Supervisor Mayor, I'm going to remind you this is being recorded and streamed.
What? It's recorded and streamed. She brought it. I'm just trying to put my bid in. That's all.
We'll make sure you get the. Which one did you want?
And this is access to everybody, so there's no ethics in here because she brought it for everyone, not particularly
for me.
All right, let's make that very clear.
I see you were listening carefully in the ethics.
Oh, I was.
Hi. Jill Organ, please go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Supervisors. You heard a brief presentation of our request for $312,000 to renovate the Sheridan Park Pavilion, and the project narrative and the cost estimate in the packet that we submitted will really give you the nuts and bolts of what we're proposing to do. That we're going to remodel the bathrooms, we're going to put on a new roof, new windows, new doors, with the goal of full ADA compliance and to have all energy efficient systems within the building, including the air conditioning, electrical, and the plumbing fixtures.
Okay, that one we I think heard.
That
do you have anything?
Only,
that was the only one.
That's our only
for?
Project. Yes.
Okay, that's I wanted a clarification on that. So any other questions on that one? Otherwise, I think we've taken care of Milwaukee County Parks.
Okay.
We still have some people in the audience. Any further? You just wanted to listen to all the applications. I applaud you for staying. That's always good to hear what other people are applying for, right? Committee members, any other comments or questions?
No.
Supervisor Mayo.
Thank you. My comments to back to the director. Now, it says $2.1 million. Is that when the gentleman came from Oak Creek? Now, do we divide? How much was the total allocation? Because it's a little bit higher, and is it so much went to public service and went to the community service? Which explain to me, please.
Sure, Madam Chair, Supervisor.
Or did I miss that? It was already here.
No, that's
sure.
Okay. The $2.1 million includes CDBG and homes. When we report on our annual plan,
all right, that's
it combines them both. We're at about, on the bottom of your presentation sheet, it shows the 2014 allocation at about $1.391 million for CDBG.
Okay.
If I can add, though, we're excited to see some of these projects. I did want to mention two things before we wrapped up. The first thing, when we do make our recommendations to your committee, we have screened all these applications. We guarantee they're all eligible. They meet the jurisdictional requirements. So anything we put in front of you, we have looked at several times to make sure they're all eligible. We also wanted to mention we were attempting to get municipalities and nonprofits to partner more together, which is what you saw with the Oak Creek and Wibbick proposal.
Mm-hmm.
Some of our communities at times, with everything we went through with HUD, had some difficulties finding eligible projects.
Mm-hmm.
So we attempted to get them to work with nonprofits on eligible projects. So you've seen some of these joint mm-hmm. partnerships, and we were really trying to encourage that this year. So we're really happy to see that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And to follow up, because of Oak Creek, they also are asking that Milwaukee County to participate and leverage their dollars with our dollars. Am I correct? And that's what are you trying to encourage a lot of municipalities to do?
No, correct.
That's a little different. All right.
No, that's a great idea. Supervisor Bowen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can you run down the bottom of this of the request sheet? I'm seeing administration 278. Remaining 1.1? Is that 1.1 for
home? Why don't you go ahead and explain all the financial numbers? I think that's a great question.
Sure. I just never got the explanation.
Sure.
It doesn't really spell it out, but
sure.
Why don't you go through it
sure.
with us?
Madam Chair, Supervisors. So if you all have the order, at the bottom it talks about our anticipated allocation, which is our total pot. Administration are the funds that we receive to administer CDBG, so that goes to staff costs and advertising and publications and everything like that. Mm-hmm. So then that leaves us a little over $1.1 million, and that's split between our 15% public service cap and then the rest of it as the non-public service projects.
How much do you give to the municipality?
Half of the 1.112.
Yeah.
So divide that by two. They get pretty much half of the non-administrative pot is split between the municipalities and the nonprofits.
So what did they get?
$556,000 roughly.
And we're going to allocate $560,000 for all those individuals that came in today?
Correct. So
that's correct. I'm on the right page. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. And so the committee is, before we leave, we'd like to have the department come back the Thursday of board day with their recommendations for the committee then to act on the recommendations. I'm asking for an 8:30 meeting time. So I want to make sure you get that information here this morning. Supervisor Mayo? A little early? Maybe you could go to bed a little earlier than the previous night.
Well, keep in mind we were late. So.
Is this board meeting?
Mr. Matthew and Director Colon, I think I had talked to you. Hopefully that's doable in terms of coming back with the recommendations now that we've had the hearing and give the committee an opportunity to weigh in on your recommendations and a possible resolution so that we can keep our timeline with HUD, which we have really worked on that for the last 2 years. I'm happy to say as committee chair that we've been successful.
So why can't we do it Wednesday, even though I don't have a policy to make sure the committee members would look at it and have opportunities?
I was being sensitive to these individuals who are not here complaining about extra meetings, and they're trying to keep it to a date we're already here. But you make a good point, Supervisor Mayo. If there's a preference, we can entertain that.
I'm gonna go with the chair, whatever the chair wants. But the bottom line is, you get stuff the same day as county board day. You really want to reserve it, make sure that you agree. Even though I think they went through it, vent it, but there might be something in there that you might say, well, can we do a little bit different? Mm-hmm. You don't have that luxury, and if you want to maintain that timeline. Is at least give them 24 hours. That's all I'm trying to say.
All right. That's probably wise wisdom. Any other comments from Supervisor Johnson?
Madam Chair, I know that the times when meetings before our board meeting went over, that's okay. Is an hour enough time?
Well, Supervisor Johnson, would you prefer Wednesday at night?
Wednesday at night.
Because I know we have the WCA convention and a couple other things that are...
I have a Community Justice Council meeting on the 25th.
So let's stay with the 8:30 on Thursday. I have faith in this committee. I think we've had a good hearing. Hopefully we'll get a good recommendation, and we can still weigh in on it. Give us a good hour.
Okay.
All right, so anything else from the committee, or is there anyone else that needs to be address the committee that we haven't heard from? If not, then we stand adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.